Right, we are coming live. Well, welcome everyone to a new episode of the Women Empowerment Series. Good morning, Christelle, to you. Good evening to this side of the world, because it's nighttime for us. But I am so happy to be able to connect so that we can accommodate, you know, connections with the other side of the planet. So welcome. Yes.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. So how is the weather like? Is it getting really cold? You're in a mountain.
I'm in Sedona, Arizona.
And the most beautiful warm place.
Yes. I mean, it can snow here, but today it's like 70 degrees. It's beautiful. This time of year is like the perfect time where it's not too hot. It isn't really cold yet. So today is a beautiful day. It's going to be cooling off in the next few days, but winters here are very mild.
Yeah.
So, which I appreciate.
Oh, that's nice. And Sedona has a very powerful energy to it, isn't it?
Yes, it does. It has really powerful energy, which sometimes can be overwhelming. Like, I just moved here in the last few weeks. And so the first week, I mean, I think part of it was moving is a big adventure. You know, it's a lot. But also the energy here is really intense. So it's taken some adjustment. But I'm
Yeah. Heather is with us. Hi, Heather. So good to have you. Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in. I know it's late for you as well. So it's nice. So I'm very excited. I've been really excited about our conversation. I love the work you do. It's really bringing a lot of feminine energy, a lot of connections, and I'm going to let you express it more. So tell us more about the work you do, how you help thousands of women. I know you've been doing that for many years and with very, very positive impact.
Yes. Well, I started this work. It started as my personal passion because I had a lot of health challenges, grew up in a challenging environment. And so I was put on a healing path at a very young age. I had a near-death experience at 6 months old. And so that really shaped my childhood and who I would become. So then as a teenager, I stepped into this work and I was always interested in money and business, even as a child. So then when I, later in my teenage years, I was like, wow, I can do this for a living. I can help myself and help other people. And so my work has evolved a lot since I was a teenager, but there are some elements that are still the same in that it's very movement-based. It's focused on embodiment and breathing and sound and nutrition and connection to nature and finding the inner balance and expression of masculine and feminine energies within each person.
I love that. So you've been doing this since the first, like that was your job from the youngest you could be. So you've been coaching, mentoring, helping women, is it women, but also men or just primarily women?
It is predominantly women, but I do work with men as well.
How do you, and this is what the question is, because we get a lot asked this question about the balance between feminine and masculine energy. You know, from your experience, what's best way to express it and to have people understand it? Because it's not really gender-based, isn't it?
Yes, which I'm so glad you bring that up, because I think a lot of the teachings that people then go, masculine is male, feminine is female, which is not what I teach or practice.
Okay.
That each one of us has masculine and feminine energies within us. The way that I like to think of it is intellect and intuition and finding the beautiful balance between those two, right? Intellect isn't better than intuition. Intuition isn't better than intellect. The place of greatest power is when you can use both.
And so So just to explain it to everyone, it's like intellect will be masculine energy and intuition will be the feminine energy. Yeah.
Yes. And so it is it is finding for each person that beautiful balance and expression of those. And that's just one of the, you know, like solar and lunar and night and day, right? Like there's all of these different aspects that help a human mind understand these concepts that are difficult to explain. Mm-hmm. Yet it's not, you know, one isn't better than the other. Both are needed in order to create in the world. Mm-hmm. And so how does each person find that expression and to find their own power in each? Like for me personally, yeah. I had a very, like I was a tomboy, you know, that was a thing when I was growing up.
It isn't really, I wouldn't think that at all.
Yeah, people don't use that anymore. But when I was a kid, I was very masculine. I played baseball. I climbed trees. You know, I did terrible things to my sister's Barbies. Oh my God. You know, I wouldn't wear dresses. I hated the color pink. I mean, it was intense. Uh-huh. And so, but I was also much closer to my father. And then I became estranged from my mother at a very young age. So it created this even greater division for me with my own feminine energy. So it took a lot of healing for me to allow feminine expression and to have that healing so that now I can be a more balanced, powerful person.
When did you realize that you needed more feminine into your daily life? How did it come?
Well, I think it's happened at different phases. Like I became estranged from my mother when I was 14. So then it was partly like healing the mother wound became the focus as a teenager. And that was when my father introduced me to inner child healing way back then, which is still a core part of my work. And so part of it was learning to heal myself without my mother being involved. So it was partly like learning to mother myself.
To mother yourself. So, wow.
And then there's been different, you know, expressions of that. There was a certain point in time where, you know, a friend of mine said, why don't you let people see your body? Mm. You know, that it was like the clothing that I was wearing was very like,
you were like hiding your reality,
hiding my feminine form, right? Because I am a woman. I have breasts and hips and, you know, I'm shaped like a woman. And I was hiding that. You know, because of whatever stories and traumas and my own experience, that it was like, so that was another level of healing. And then moving into a community and becoming a part of a women's community and learning to trust women and learning to, you know, let go that not all women are in the old paradigm of competition and cattiness. You know, that there's huge communities like this one.
There are sisterhoods.
Sisterhood exactly. And supporting each other, celebrating each other, the collaboration.
So loving each other and caring for each other. Oh, yes.
So it's happened in many phases.
Incredible. And I really appreciate that you're open about it and you actually talk about it, because often we all grew up so masculine because of the intellect. I mean, you, as a young girl, as a young woman, you're like, you need to study, you need to really prove yourself. And the only way you can do that is by being completely in your intellect.
Yes.
And so we were dismissing whoever was more into the, you know, like the femininity, showing out that it was just dismissed. You're like, I can't be that.
Right.
What do you think that there is a shift in this generation? Was it more our generation, older generation, like, you know, years before where we needed to assert ourselves? Do you see any of that changes happening?
Well, I think that, you know, each generation has different impacts, right? Like feminism, you know, had a huge impact on our generation. Yes. And so, you know, what is happening in the current world and, you know, is obviously powerfully impacting the younger generations. So I think that, you know, each generation has specific points of focus, which astrology is a big part of my work. And so that would be about, you know, the planets and where they are and how that impacts generations and how how the lessons and challenges we are facing are different in each generation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's generational, but it's also so personal, right? Because it's like there's the cultural conditioning, then there's the familial conditioning, then there's like the soul lessons that we've chosen. That's that. Right. there are general things, but then they also become very personal. And I think that it can be like so many in our community are focused on making the world a better place. And it can be focused on what can I do externally. And yet I think the greatest power for me, what I can do to best support the world, is create healing inside myself, right? Is end the battle between the masculine and feminine, end the battles that are happening inside myself so that I'm bringing that into everything I'm doing in the world through my business, through every interaction is like end the battle that's happening inside.
Is it possible to end it completely, or is it a continuous work that we need to do?
Yeah, I think in being human, it's continuing journey.
It is. Right. It is. I mean, and that's what I wanted to hear you say, because you can never say, okay, I'm done. I'm good. I know what's like, I know it's my intuition. Never.
No, I think even people that I would call master teachers that have been humans, like they still have human struggles, you know, they just, so it's a certain level of like, how quickly can I recognize the battle I'm having inside and change it, or recognize the battle I'm having with somebody in my life, or, you know, something that's happening in the world, like how quickly can I notice it and shift out of it?
Yeah, and shift out of it. So it's like you start being more intentional, which is a big change, right? Because we usually don't pay this much attention to what's happening in our mind. But when you are more intentional and you understand the tools, then you can use them continuously.
Yes, because so many things are habitual, right? We do things by habit. Our brains are designed to just keep doing the same thing. So it's partly recognizing what I want to be choosing rather than what my habit is of relating to myself or the world, and recognizing I have the power of creation is now, you know, I have the power to create this moment and the next moment and the next moment, that each moment is a point of creation. And so using that consciously rather than running the habits or the programs that have been programmed into me.
It's like you stop yourself every single moment that you're aware of it, that saying that you have the power of creation at that very moment when you find yourself running after something else. Yes.
Yes. Which is a practice, you know, and it's a practice in patience as well, because I am very human. And, you know, there are certain things that I can get hooked into, or, you know, a lot of the work that I do is with soul contracts. And so it's like where I'm just repeating the same experience, but part of it is to pull my energy back when I find myself on a timeline that is not what I desire, or pouring my energy and attention into something I don't want anymore, is to recognize in that moment to pull my energy back and then to choose what I want to be creating, to choose with kindness and compassion instead of being hard on myself, like, oh, why am I doing this again? It's just to simply recognize I did this again, and how can I take a breath
and be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Which we're not sometimes. We get upset. It's like, why did it come back again? It's like you have some thoughts and you spend so many months repeating the same mantra so that you get rid of it. And then suddenly it comes back again. Yeah.
But then it's, you know, it's also like a fight or flight response, that it's like, because the intensity of the world is so intense, I think in general, most of us are in a fight or flight response. And so it's learning to dial down our nervous systems so that I'm not fighting everything, right? Fighting myself, fighting my beloved, fighting, you know, my friends or my family, or fighting everything because my nervous system is in a constant state of stress. It's like learning to dial down my nervous system, to calm my system so that I can be respond from a place of rest and digest, rather than if my nervous system is stressed, then it's very difficult to then choose how I respond.
And this is why you need to calm down. You need to have the tools that helps you ground yourself. And that's what you do.
Yes.
I love what you called your program about, you know, how you can get whatever you want. Let me phrase it properly. And I think you have the revolutionary art of asking for what you want and receiving unapologetically. I think that's brilliant.
Thank
how
you.
Can that, Yes. So tell us more about what's this program and how do you help reach what we want or what we desire?
Yes. Well, as we talked about, I predominantly work with women and as women and even more so mothers are mm-hmm. conditioned and trained to be of service to everyone else and not themselves. Oh, and yes. and to self-sacrifice. So in that kind of conditioning, women can completely lose, like, I don't even know what I want. So then it becomes difficult to even ask for what you want. So the core of the work is discovering what I want, asking for what I want, which is a whole other thing. Like women asking for what they want, there's so much conditioning that goes against that.
Yeah.
Yes. Receiving. Then it's like I've discovered what I've wanted. I've asked for what
That's
I want.
Right.
I receive what I want. And then I enjoy it because there is, again, it's even more so for mothers that it's like enjoying and delighting what you personally want. How dare you? How selfish, right? Like there's all this conditioning.
Yes, that's so true.
Women from our power in that way. Mm-hmm. And so this work, the desire sessions are really about that, is like discovering what we want if we don't already know, learning to ask for it, which is a whole other challenge. Yeah. Then allowing it in, receiving it and enjoying it, delighting in what we've received, which all of those things, all of those four things are very taboo mm-hmm. in most yes. cultures for most women. Again, like I said,
oh yes, maybe so when you're a mom, and I think you said it very, very well, because you kind of let yourself in the backseat. You're like, you know, you're not important, not because you don't value yourself, but just by habit, you become.
Right. It's the conditioning, you know, of how we view, and I think it's bigger, that it's part of like the global mother wound mm. and lack of respect for the feminine, right? Like I think that's a key part of the challenge the world is facing right now, is there's these like immature masculine is running the world. And then the feminine qualities are diminished and not valued. And it's mm-hmm. like to bring those into greater balance, where it's not, you know, feminine qualities are better, but no. they are valued in from a mature masculine sense and a mature feminine. You know, that's the place where we can create heaven on earth, right? And create this experience in the world where all people are taken care of, all people are celebrated and different, and you know, we come together in a place of thriving rather than this battle of all the battles.
I love that, because I think the way you put it is just so subtle, because it's like valuing both the masculine and the feminine. It's just, it doesn't mean that one is better than the other, or one should have more weight than the other, but just should be valued the same way. And that's probably what we are missing, even us women and even mothers. Do we value it the same way? It's like, do we go and advise the children, you know, follow your intuition? Yeah, no, you're going to tell them, go study, go do your homework, go do the thing, and go get yourself stuff done. So how do you, you know, how would you bring that as a mother to even the children? How can we change the narrative and our conversation with them, you know?
Yes. Well, I think it really begins. I mean, I am not a mother. I am a very happy auntie. So, a lot of my clients are women. So mm-hmm. to me, it begins, all the work that I do begins with the individual. So it's partly learning how I talk to myself about my intuition. Mm. How, when my intuition arises, do I listen to it or do I diminish it? That it's like, that's where the power lies. Because especially in having children, they will do as you do and not as you say. So the key part is noticing that relationship I have within myself first, mm. you know, as mm. a woman, as a mother, as a leader, mm. is to be like, what do I need to shift? And trusting that as I shift that within myself, that then my children are watching, or in my case, you know, yes. my nieces and nephews and my clients' yes. children are being impacted by the work that I'm doing. Yes. So it's got to start on the inside.
So it's not about telling them what to do. It's about showing them the way.
Exactly. Show first. Be the change you want to see in the world, right? Be the change you want to see in your children. It's like, bring it all the way back. It's like, be the change you want to see for your children. Instead of wishing your children could have a different future, how can you be the woman that is that future?
How can you embody that balance yourself so that you can have others mirror or reflect or get activated, right, by your way of being?
Exactly. And also to let them see you stumble with your passion, right? To be like, this is what I was doing. And now I want to create a different pattern in my life. And I want to be going this direction instead, so that they can also see you're not holding yourself to a standard of perfectionism, which is impossible, right? That they can see you learning. They can see you trying new things, which, you know, are some valuable things for children to learn, right? That it's like, my mother can make mistakes gracefully and sometimes not so gracefully. She falls on her face, she gets up, she dusts herself off, and then she resets and changes course.
Which, and we don't give ourselves the right to do that often.
No,
we don't.
So these are practices that, because raising children is such a huge demand that is external, right? Like, once the baby is born, there is this living, breathing being that you need to keep alive. So I think that's part of why this work is so much more challenging for mothers, is because there are this being, or many if you have more than one children, like, you have this kind of chaos outside of you that you're trying to manage and wrangle. Yet part of it is to be able to bring your energy and attention to the inside, and then to shift the inside to create something different on the outside.
You know, I love what you just said, and it's interesting because I observed it in my own life and with my children. You know, when I was in very demanding corporate job, or I was really busy, and so it was a lot of stress, which I'd bring home. And then when I shifted and, you know, I went into completely the leadership, the woman empowerment, just doing what I'm doing now with women and everything, my son will tell me, it's like, you know, you're like much less stressed than you used to be when you were there. And I'm like, I don't know if I respond to that, or I'm like, yeah, well, because I did so much work in my inner self. And it's interesting you said that, because they observe everything. I mean, young as they are, but they can see that those changes.
Yes.
So I don't even, and he's like watching me. So each time I'd go back, he's like, are you again doing the same thing? So he's like really observing. So they become like watchers. Some express it, some don't.
But their children are incredibly wise. I mean, I think it's one of the unfortunate things that most cultures do is condition children out of their connection to source energy and out of their connection to their intuition, and seeing what is not being unseeable, the things that people aren't saying. It's like, children know all of this, but we, as general of the dysfunctional culture, like, train them out of that. Yet children are so intuitive and so in tuned, yet there are very few places where they're actually being supported in cultivating those gifts. Like, how do you relate to someone when you have this intuitive sense that they're upset? Like, how can you interact with them? Or how can you interact with your mother when you think she's stressed and you're curious if she's going back to an old pattern? Like, how can you do that in a mindful way that is empowering and is not like shaming you about being like, are you doing that thing again?
Yes. Yeah, I love that. So it's actually, they mature in terms of their own emotions, and you help them develop their own emotional intelligence. Yeah.
Yes. And their ability to maintain those intuitive things that they know, but also to interact in a way that with other people, instead of like somebody feeling called out or you feeling called out in the way they interact, that you feel supported and seen and loved, that he's saying this because he wants you to feel more relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go back to your program before I finish. I want you to really tell us what's the hardest part that seems to be taking longer for people to shift and to be able to attract or, you know, manifest their desire, reach their goals. which is the one that needs more work usually, where as soon as the blockage is, you know, cleaned, then everything else comes. What part?
Yeah. Well, the focus of my work starts with the Desire Session, which also is my podcast. It's called the Desire Session Podcast.
It is. Because, and I saw you have a link to, so I'm going to drop it for whoever wants to come and do a Desire Session with you. I saw that yesterday as I was looking.
Yeah. Yes. So the podcast is, they're ones that I've been given permission by clients to post them as podcast episodes, but then I also do a private Desire Session one-on-one with people. Yet to me, that's where the core of the work starts, is a person landing in their desire of, this is what I want in my life, owning the desire and allowing the desire to guide the choices that I'm making in my life, right? Allowing myself to own what I desire, ask for what I desire, receive what I desire, and fully enjoy it, instead of being like, okay, and now I have this thing, now I want this
thing. Let's move to something else. Or right. Maybe you should hide it. What about if people find out, or things like that? Yeah.
Right. But to really, yes, enjoy it unapologetically. There is so much power in a woman owning. I mean, I truly believe it's a revolutionary act for women to own our desires, to ask for what we want, receive what we want, enjoy what we desire unapologetically. It's truly where it would change the world. And women's desires in generally are very, like, the feminine is more community minded. So, and most women are more dominantly feminine energy, not all, but most. And so the feminine is more community minded. So it's like, for women to have more of what we want, in general, the things that we want are going to impact other people in a positive way.
Even if our thinking, so even when we start about thinking about our own desire, we usually always put in the equations people around us.
Yeah, but even, but it's like, we are so powerful. Our energy, I think of us all like crystals, you know, that it's like, when I am in my pure delight and enjoyment, that impacts the environment around me.
It does.
And so when I can be in that level of peace, love, compassion, kindness, it impacts everyone around me, which is, you know, the world could use more of that. So giving ourselves permission to feel good more of the time is a beautiful way to positively impact the world, no matter what is happening. There's always going to be human challenges that, you know, humans do crazy things. So how can we take care of ourselves so that no matter how we're interacting with the world, we're bringing greater love, compassion, connection to what everything we're doing and who we're being?
I love that. I just love how you emphasizing that. And it's so timely, because this is everything is happening around us. It's like, almost come back to yourself and find the love. You will radiate it. You don't need to do anything else, but just enjoy yourself and love yourself. And I think what you said that is so important, I want to really emphasize to whoever is watching us, is to give yourself the permission to do that, which we often don't.
Yeah.
We kind of give it some time and like, okay, I gave myself too much of it. Let me go back.
And then you reel it back in. And it's, you know, and in doing the work to be the woman I want to be in the world, then anything I am doing from that place has greater power. That it is like, the feminine is more the being quality, the masculine is more the doing, that both are important and essential. Yet if I'm just doing from a disconnected place, it's more of the immature masculine. So it's like bringing them both together and connecting who I am and who I want to be and the energy I want to bring into what I'm doing in the world together. Mm-hmm. And that both of those are where we create the greatest power and the greatest change in the world.
That's beautiful. This is such a beautiful concluding remark. I love it. How can people reach out to you, Christelle, if they would like to do this Desire Session?
Through my website, they can just book the session, or they can contact me probably through Instagram. Mm-hmm. DM me on Instagram if you have questions about any of the work that I do. I would love to support women in your community.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a delight. And a lot of, we clarified so many issues about the feminine energy, the masculine, being able to value them both. It's not to give a priority to one on the or the other. And I think the really one sentence that I want to keep from this is to give yourself the permission to feel good. And this is what we need more. It's like feel good from opening your eyes to closing them at night. It's just like having a bliss each moment. And that's been it's a lot of awareness and intentionality in bringing that. Yeah. So yes. Would you like to say one last word before we close?
No. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure connecting with you.
Same here. Thank you so much, Christelle, for being with me today. Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for tuning us with us. Bye.